Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're jumping in this morning to chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Acts. I've been loving this book as we look at the early church and how they lived their lives, how they followed Jesus. And these two chapters really focus in on two major characters, Saul, who we'll find becomes Paul in these verses, and his mentor Barnabas. And if you've missed it, or we've preached about Saul, Paul a few times already in this series, basically he was killing Christians, he was throwing them in jail until he meets Jesus himself. Radically transformed, and now he's like, I've got to share this message with the world. But it's interesting, right? As you and I would have done, a lot of people were a bit nervous when this guy who'd recently been killing Christians and throwing them in jail says, yeah, I'm one of you now. You know, they're a bit skeptical. Like, I'm sure this is just a ploy to like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Ha ha, got you. You know, like, how is this guy genuinely going to be? But luckily for Saul, his transformation was true. And this man, Barnabas, was one person who vouched for him. He said, yes, I've seen the transformation. This guy is legit, and we need to get around him, support him, and help him to discover his new faith. And what's really interesting is for the next 4 years after that transformation moment, Barnabas is his mentor. He teaches him. He helps Saul go through this journey of connecting his Jewish understanding of how the world works with who Jesus truly was. 4 years. 4 years of intense discipleship, learning, understanding. He's brought, I've got a map that's going to help us today. It's going to be up on this screen in the middle. I just want to thank the team, especially Keegan. I know you're sitting over here. I know that you did a lot of work to make this screen come up. So I just want to thank you, to make me look good. Thanks, Keegan and Hendre and the team up the back. I don't understand how they got it to work, but they did. Saul gets taken to this church over here in Antioch, right? And for 4 years, he's learning here. He's being mentored by Barnabas. And we're going to see over these chapters, they go on a journey, a missionary trip following these lines, right? And we're going to see some of the stories. And it's funny, this week, Az and I, we were on the road together down in New South Wales. Felt like we were in the middle of nowhere. Honestly, there was trees and grass and cows, probably more cows than people. But it was a good time. So I'm excited to talk about a journey this morning. I don't think Paul and Barnabas went to Dunedoo. But I know that their journey is going to have some truths for us that really could help us in our lives. Right, so Acts 13, 2-3, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Right, so these two guys, Barnabas and Saul / Paul, I'll call him both, just I hope you stick with me. Right, they go on this journey and really the call for Paul, after 4 years of learning, of understanding, of getting all of the things about Jesus that he needs, once he's got them all right in his mind, he's ready to go. Like, he knows his mission is to share the truth with people. In fact, his mission is much like Jesus' words in John 8, 31-32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? You shall know the truth shall make you free. And Paul's become one of these Jews who believe, and now he knows the truth. He knows that it could set him free, and his mission is to go out and share that truth with others. And they hit the road, and it's on the road, on this island, these first few dots, that they have this first major encounter that I want to look at. So Acts 13:4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus means son of the Savior, right? Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This proconsul guy, he's the lead Roman official of this island, like the person the most in charge. He's in charge of this island. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that's Bar-Jesus, he's got a nickname, withstood them. And he's seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was called Paul, there you go, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Let me pause there for a second. This guy Bar-Jesus, his name means son of the Savior. His nickname is like he's wise. And Paul just stops and he calls him out. "You're not the son of the Savior. You're a child of the devil. You are full of deceit. You're not wise." He's calling out the truth. Everything that this guy is, his whole identity trying to sway this Roman official, Paul just sees right through him and he calls him out. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." Immediately, a dark mist fell on him and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Right, this is the first major kind of preaching missionary moment for Paul and Barnabas, and Paul stepped up, right? Barnabas has let his pupil go and take the lead, and Paul is calling out what needs to be said. He's sharing the truth because he knows the truth will set these people free. And the proconsul, the highest official in that entire island, sees the power of God at work and believes. The deception that's tried to whisper in his ear for so long has been cast aside. And now he sees the truth and the truth sets him free. Powerful moment. Exactly what you'd hope for when you're on a mission trip, for these moments where people's hearts are changed. They get it. They get the picture. Right? And so Paul and Barnabas, they move on. And I'm going to two. They set off from Cyprus and Paphos, they follow this line. They end up in a different Antioch, right? Two Antiochs, don't get confused. Different Antioch, right? And so they end up in this Antioch of Pisidia, right? It's further northwest in what's now modern-day Turkey, right? Where they started, actually, this first church is about 150 kilometers from where the recent earthquakes have just happened, right? So that's where we're talking, this region, this city. And it's in this second Antioch, they have their second major experience on the road, right? They do what they like to do, right? They roll into town and they head to the synagogue, the place of worship, and they're hanging out. And Paul and Barnabas are hanging out with the Jews who believe there, and they believe in God, but they haven't heard about Jesus yet. And kind of at the end of their gathering together in the synagogue, these Jews turn to Paul and Barnabas, their visitors. They go, "Hey, have you guys got anything to share with us? Anything you'd like to encourage us with?" And Paul just sees this opportunity, right? Like, this is literally like free reign. Like, "I'm handing you the mic. Tell us what you want to share with us." And Paul just lets this sermon loose. 25 verses. Read it yourself, please. I do not have time to go through all of Acts 13 and 14 this morning. So please head home, read it. There is so much in these chapters that you can learn from. And Paul just preaches up a storm. He's preaching to the Jewish crowd. So he begins with their shared history. He begins with all of their ancestors like Abraham and right through the prophets to King David, right? And he connects King David to King David's descendant, Jesus. And then he begins to preach the truth about Jesus. And he's telling them that Jesus, the Messiah, has come and he died and he rose again. And the crowd is so like amazed by this message. They're so taken with it. They're like, please keep sharing with us. Like, can you come back next week and preach to us again? We want to know more about this guy, Jesus. Right? And so it comes to the following week. Here we go, Acts 13:42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. The whole city. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Jump to verse 49, the word of the Lord being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Right, this second major moment on their journey, they've preached 1 week and the crowds are like, tell us more, we need to hear this truth. And the second week, so many people come to hear this truth, the Jews look around and they get jealous. Like, we've never had this kind of fame or gathering or anything like this. And so they stir up all of the people in charge of this town and they kick Paul and Barnabas out. Like, get out of our town. We don't want you here. Right? This second encounter, they've done the same thing. They've just shared the truth. Instead of all of the people in charge, like this island of Paphos, right? Instead of them believing, they're kicking Paul and Barnabas out. But I love their response, actually. And maybe you recognize their response is exactly the words of Jesus to the disciples when he sent them on mission. In Matthew 10, verses 11 to 14, Jesus says this, "Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whoever does not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet." Right, this is exactly how Paul and Barnabas have lived. We've got a mission to share the truth. But if you won't hear it, we'll shake off the dust and we'll get going to someone who will. That puts a lot onto the hearers, puts a lot onto us this morning. How are we taking the message of Jesus? Because when you share the truth, not everyone will accept it. Not everyone will be cheering and their heart will be changed. Not everyone will listen. Some might kick you out, might send you on your way, or even worse, right? But this does not change Paul and Barnabas' mission. They know their mission. Again, their mission from the words of Jesus in Mark 16, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." They know their mission is just to share the truth. It's up to God. It's up to the people to respond. And so they move on again. They move on the roller coaster of emotions of people loving the message, people hating the message. They move on. And it's this third major interaction where things really heat up and end up with a pretty hectic situation. Acts 14 now, verse 8 to 13. And in Lystra, where we're at now, we're over this second red dot in the middle here. Over in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up, straight on your feet. And he leapt up and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, for he was the chief speaker. And then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in the front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. This is not the response that Paul was hoping for. Right? This is not the response, and it's turning pretty crazy really quickly. Right? The people, in fact, in this city, they had a story of a farmer and his wife who were visited by the Greek gods Zeus and Hermes. They had this story of two men, right? And if you don't know much about Greek mythology, neither did I before researching this, right? But Zeus is said to be the father of Hermes, right? The god of the sky. And Hermes was the messenger for all of the other Greek gods. He'd go on trips and he'd bring the message, right? And so when these men and women in this city see Paul and Barnabas, they see a father figure. They go, "Oh, he must be Zeus." And they see Paul who's speaking and proclaiming and performs this miracle, and this man is healed. And naturally for them, the gods have come. These are the Greek gods they've been worshiping all of this time where they live, and it's normal for them to see these divine figures in the image of a man. That's natural. And so they see what they expect to see. But Paul and Barnabas, they weren't there to be worshipped. They weren't there to hear the accolades and the praises of the people. That praise wasn't for them. Their whole purpose was sharing the truth, to set people free. And so these men, these amazing men of God, don't take on their praises. They don't allow the crowds to worship them. It says this, "When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness.' With all these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them." Paul and Barnabas showed such genuine integrity. They wouldn't allow the worship of the crowds. They called them out too. Did you hear again their truth? This time a pretty brutal truth. Turn away from your useless things. That's not really the friendly message that we might like to portray sometimes. How many of us in this room, I know I've needed it at times, need a spiritual mentor to look at us and say, "Turn away from your useless things." It's harsh, but sometimes it's needed. What do we need to turn away from? What are the useless things in our lives that aren't making us more like Jesus? Useless idols or relationships. Like, can I be real? Like the relationships that take us away from what God wants for us. Like the useless things that distract us and pull us away. Maybe today I'm just here to tell you to turn away from those useless things. Maybe God's got something on your heart. The harsh truth might be exactly what you need this morning to be set free. You'll know the truth will set you free. In fact, I found myself really recently, just a few weeks ago, in a situation where I had to decide how much truth I was going to share. And how much truth will I bring to this moment? It's actually on a train heading back from work. I was working in the city that day, and was waiting for my train, sitting at the station, and this woman comes and sits next to me, and she drew the attention of everyone. She's a bit of a character. She's walked into the station carrying a few drinks, drinking them where she shouldn't be, right? She's having a great time, right? She sits down right next to me. I kind of look at her, and she's telling me this story, and the train comes, Cleveland Line, like, brilliant, here we go. And who would stand up to? My new friend. So we get on the train, and I sit in a seat with two seats, and she sits just across from me, with no one in between us, face to face. And we keep this conversation going. She truly was a character, and she's asking me and recommending all of these drugs I should try. And I said, no, thank you. I'm good. Right, and she's telling me this story. Her day's been pretty crazy. She's tried to get something checked out in hospital, but she was drinking, so they didn't send her home. And she's on the train. Her phone's died, and just keep this conversation going. And then a moment, she turns to me and asks me, so what do you do? Opportunity. How much truth am I going to share right now? You know me, the youth director. Come on, this is your moment. I got to admit to you, it would be so easy in that moment to be like, oh, you know, I work with youth to help some youth out, help some young people out. It'd be so easy to say, oh, I work in an education system. That's true as well. Work in schools, you know. In that moment, I just felt, no, I need to bring more than that. I need to bring some truth. And so I say, hey, I run a youth ministry at a church. She kind of looks at me a bit funny. And tell her a bit about what we do with a Friday night program and youth from all over the Redlands that come with all of their stories, you know, the good and the bad. And she kind of lets down her guard a little and tells me her story. And man, it was rough, like rough story growing up in a house full of drugs as well. And, you know, not in her parents' home in the system sort of thing. And again, she's talking. And then again, she stops, looks at me. So, do you believe in God then? Right? Another opportunity. How much truth will I share? I turned to her, yeah, I do. I love it. I love God. It's changed my life. And she follows up with another question. So, do you have a favorite scripture? And I'm like, yeah, I do. In fact, I've got my Bible here, and I pull out my Bible out of my bag. And she gets really excited by this, really intrigued. She actually gets up from her seat and comes and sits right next to me. I'm like, hey. And I open up, and I'm like, which verse do I pick? You know, I've got a few favorites. Which verse? And I opened up to Romans chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters. And in it, there's this verse that I turned and I read to her. And it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And she kind of looks at me and I share with her. I was like, yeah, this message has meant so much to me. The fact that even when I was messed up and in the wrong, Jesus died for me. He didn't care what my life looked like. He loved me anyway. And he sent his son to die for me so that all I need to do is believe in him. I don't have to have my life all together. I just need to know him. Just need to trust him. I'm just sharing the gospel with this girl. You know, we're coming to the end of my train line. I need to get off. And she takes her seat. And I'm about to get off. And I just get this feeling from the Holy Spirit again. I'm like, are you serious, God? I've got to give her my Bible. No. It's my Bible. The last 2 years, I've been highlighting and writing notes and underlining and circling all of the stuff that God's been speaking to me. Like, God, you know, Bella gave me this Bible. What will she say? But it's a moment to share the truth physically. So I go, hey, do you have a Bible? Maybe it was my chance. If she said yes, I was in the clear. I don't know. She goes, nah, didn't think so. I'd like to give you my Bible. She's like, really? Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to give you. And I showed her this, you know, had two strings. It was a really nice Bible. I showed you the string here. Double string, not just one. And I go, see this string here, you know, this red one. It's really nice. It's got this place that we just read. So I give her this Bible and get off the train and head home. I call Bella immediately as I'm walking to my car. Bella, I've got to tell you this story. Had a real interesting train ride. What do we do when opportunity arises to share the truth? What will we do? It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. It's not always convenient. Acts 14:19-20. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there to this town where they're nearly worshipping Paul and Barnabas. And they, having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. This is hectic. You could preach a whole sermon on this little passage, right? The crowd has gone from a moment of nearly worshiping them, sacrificing goats or whatever to them. And now these other Jews who've recently chased Paul and Barnabas off come to the city and like, nah, got to get rid of these guys. And so they take him out and they throw rocks at him. So much so they genuinely think he's dead. Maybe he was, actually, some scholars say. Maybe he was dead, but people, believers, get around him. He gets up, shakes it off, and the next day he leaves back on the mission. Mission just to share truth, because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard this truth that Jesus came, no matter your story, to die for you. The mistakes you've made, they're real, they're genuine. God's not impressed by our mistakes, but he would send his son so that we wouldn't bear the price of our mistakes. And Jesus suffered, he died, but he rose again, overcoming death, overcoming sin and shame, so that all you and I would need to do is believe in Christ, trust in him, and we would have an eternal relationship with our God. That's the truth. The truth can set you free this morning. Can I just ask that we bow our heads, close our eyes? Maybe that's you. You're in this room and you know that you need this truth for your life. You've never responded to it before. You've never allowed God into your heart before. If that's you and you want to make that decision, make that response this morning, just put your hand up. Just give me a little wave. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down. Just as I look from the left to the right, one more time. Yeah, I see that hand. Thank you. Maybe you're in this place and you've received that truth. Maybe recently, and like Paul when he was Saul, this morning is your opportunity to get surrounded by the right people, to dive deeper, to understand what is it about this decision that should change my life? What is it that I need to, who do I need to be around? Who's my Barnabas that's going to mentor me, encourage me? Maybe you need to join a connect group and find yourself surrounded by other people. They're going to lift you up and teach you and guide you and mentor you. Maybe that's your response this morning, is to find the right people to be around, to encourage. The ones that'll get around you when the crowds stone you down. They'll lift you up, set you back on mission. Finally, maybe you're a mature Christian in this room. You've walked the walk. You've been on mission. Maybe this morning's a reminder to find another Saul. You're already a Barnabas. You need to find a Saul. someone you can mentor. Get back on mission. Set the next generation on fire. Send them on mission. Their turn to preach and share will come. But they need the support that you've got to offer them. So many ways you could respond. Let's pray. God, I thank you for every person in this room. The decision made to know you, God, to follow you, to allow you in. But God, for each and every one of us who's already made that decision, would you help us to walk it out? Would you help us to know the truth and to share the truth, because we know the truth will set people free. Give us the boldness this week to be that light, be that beacon in our worlds, God. Help us, God, as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.